Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Friday has arrived. So is spring. Going to be hot in L.A. tomorrow. The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Nice to have you in today. Tournament this weekend. Big tournament game Saturday and Sunday. Leonard Fournette just signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Can you imagine being Aaron Rodgers? They bring everybody back. Everybody back. And he couldn't get his Pro Bowl center. Green Bay couldn't afford Aaron Rodgers' Pro Bowl center, who they got in the fifth round, so they never paid him a nickel, and he was a Pro Bowler, and they couldn't keep him. And every single star for Tampa comes back. Everyone.
Everyone is not great with the cap. We like to think that that's the case.
It's just incredible.
Everyone is not working with the same budget.
You know, this goes back to something we've said before, too, is that, listen, when you pay Aaron Rodgers $37 million and Russell Wilson $37 million, you can't keep guys.
Yep, that also adds up.
Yeah, so let me start with this, though. This is interesting. So in our business, when a story breaks, you as a consumer, you read the story. My question's always, who leaked it? Who's got something to win? Who's got something to lose? So the story on Russell Wilson and the Bears is still out there from legitimate reporters, Diana Rossini, Adam Schefter, Jeff Darlington, that Seattle could still trade Russell Wilson to the Chicago Bears or trade him, period. So my takeaway is, okay, who's leaking this story now? Which party is sending it out there? So you could say Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's like, hey, you've signed some guys, and I saw what you did with Carlos Dunlap yesterday. You re-signed him. I'm happy, but I'm going to keep the pressure on you. Certainly possible. Pete Carroll could be leaking this stuff. And John Snyder, hey, we're still not happy what you did taking this thing public, and we've gone to the pro days for Trey Lance. We'll move off you. Or the Chicago Bears, and this is my guess, it's the Bears leaking this story. So that Ryan Pace, the general manager, who's now 0-for-4 on quarterbacks, can say, hey, I never stopped fighting for Russell Wilson. I didn't want Andy Dalton. I threw everything but the kitchen sink at Russell Wilson. You thought that deal was done? I'm still fighting for him up to the draft. I want Russell Wilson. We couldn't win here big, but it's not like I didn't try. It's not like I didn't do everything. Because I start looking around at this deal and I think, I guess Russell Wilson's side could leak it, but you got to be honest. They got him a new offensive coordinator, an athletic tight end, upgraded on the offensive line, re-signed their fullback, and then re-signed Carlos Dunlap, their pass rusher. You can't blame, Russell Wilson could be leaking this, but Seattle does look better than last year, and they were 12-4 last year. This morning, I think Seattle feels a little better than last year. No, 12-4. Pete Carroll could be leaking it, but Pete's not dumb. He knows that noise in the offseason is bad, and he also knows he's never had a losing season with Russell Wilson. What's the floor for Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll? 9-7, and that's in the best division in football. Since Russell arrived, Harbaugh was with the Niners. They were great. Then McVay gets to the Rams. They're great. Now Arizona's spending money and got a star quarterback. It's a very, very good division. So my gut feeling is this, they call it forecasting. This is wish casting. This is the Chicago Bears front office trying to throw something out there. They're a bad trade partner. It doesn't work. They've only got the 20th pick. Seattle needs great picks. Right? If Seattle wants to trade with somebody, it would be like the Jets where they could get all those picks back, right? Get a second pick in the draft, second pick, second round, second pick, third round. Chicago's got the 20th pick. They were a playoff team. They also have no quarterback to give Seattle in return. They're also up against the cap. It's a bad deal for Russell Wilson. At this point, why would Chicago? It's a bad fit. So this feels like to me Chicago is leaking this story so that Ryan Pace in the end can save his but can save his job and say, hey, if they go 7-9 with Andy Dalton, he can say, hey, we tried to get Russell Wilson. He can go to the owner. I tried. I made multiple runs. Here's the story. We threw everything at him. Nobody pursued Russell as hard as we did. Nobody was as aggressive as we were. Because this story's coming from somewhere. These are legitimate sources. Diana Rossini, Adam Schefter, Jeff Darlington. These are people that break stories. They're all coming out with these stories. So there's somebody is leaking it. And I'm trying to figure it out on my phone. I'm trying to figure out who's leaking it on my phone. I was told 2 weeks ago Chicago made a run at him. And that was validated. But this story now, this feels like Chicago's throwing it out there to save their butt. So this is interesting. You know, I've said this before. It'd be one thing if you had like a sibling rivalry with your sister or your brother. But, you know, they lived in Missouri and you lived in Florida and you didn't have to see him every day. But if you had that sibling rivalry and, I mean, your brother was doing way better than you and he lived right around the corner and you always drove by his new cars and his bigger house. The kids had a great backyard and a swimming pool. It kind of sting a little bit, right? So when Kawhi comes to the Lakers, he's in the same city and he plays in the same building as LeBron. And I saw this story. Rajon Rondo got traded to the Clippers for Lou Williams. When the Lakers went and got Rondo, they literally needed a third scoring option. They're like, dude, can you give us 12 a night? AD and LeBron were carrying all the scoring. They're making this move for chemistry and leadership. Lakers didn't need Rondo for chemistry and leadership. Let's be honest about this. Kawhi Leonard's been a disappointment. He's missed 24 starts. He was awful in Game 7 against Denver last year in the bubble. He was terrible. He's not really a player that elevates others. They're now bringing in Rondo at the end of his career for leadership and chemistry. And he turned off teammates with some special treatment. Let's be honest about this. He's a great player, but it's been disappointing. And when you put him in the same building, in the same city with LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard shrinks. Doesn't really lead, doesn't elevate teammates, misses a lot of games. This year he's been bad at the end of fourth quarters. They brought Kawhi Leonard here to be their LeBron. And in the end, what are the Clippers today? Doc Rivers is gone. Lou Williams now gone. Montrezl Harrell was the sixth man of the year last year. Gone. Paul George in the playoffs, disappointing. And Kawhi, when propped up next to LeBron, is kind of limited. Can't build a culture with him. Now the Clippers are sort of a collection of players that wear the same uniform, but what are they? It's interesting. When the Lakers brought on Rondo, they really actually needed about 10 to 12 points a game. I mean, they couldn't trust Kyle Kuzma. Go back to the roster last year. It was an old team. Thank God KCP hit big shots in the bubble. Big shots against Denver. Big shots against Miami. They didn't have a third scoring option. That's okay. I get that. But if you're bringing Rondo in for leadership and chemistry, when you've got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, I mean, Kawhi's just now, he's just a talented basketball player. And it feels like this move, by the way, he's a free agent pretty quick, kind of feels like this move so far is a big disappointment. What are the Clippers today? Are they have great chemistry? Not really. Do they have a great bench? Do they have, you know, do you feel like they match up particularly well now with the Lakers? Lakers have won two of the last three against them. I mean, listen, I live in the city. It's great to have two NBA teams that are interesting, and they're both interesting. But it's funny, they bring Rondo for chemistry and leadership because it's like they got their scores. Really? You know, this is why I say all the time, there's a big difference. There's about four guys in this league that are not only great players, they are chemistry builders, leadership builders, and culture builders. Steph, LeBron, Jimmy Butler, Chris Paul. Those guys give you the whole package. You get everything with them. Kawhi, now that he's had to build the culture, he's just a talented guy. And the league's full of them. The league is full of them. All right, interesting thoughts from the Dallas Cowboys. So Mike McCarthy, said yesterday, it's not offense, it is defense that we're going to focus on in the draft. But there's a huge problem with that, and it's not necessarily the Cowboy players. That is coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, the Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Everybody's got a feel for something. Everybody does. And when I first met my wife, she, if anything breaks in the house, anything, car, it doesn't, Wi-Fi, she has the patience. She'll spend hours. She likes jigsaw puzzles. She'll go 7 hours in a jigsaw puzzle. She can go into our Wi-Fi. She'll pull stuff out of the basement, and she'll sit there with a screwdriver for hours. She has a feel for it. She grew up in Motor City, Detroit. Cars, mechanics, she's got a feel for it. Her brother drives motorcycles. The family's got a feel for it. I, of course, do not. I have a feel for getting on my phone and calling somebody who could go down to the basement with a screwdriver. And I found this through life. Some people just have, it's innate. You can't teach everything. Some people are just good under the hood. Some are not. Some people are great with animals. I mean, you see these people with animals, they're like animal whisperers. Some people are just better nurturers with kids. Some people are just born drawn to science and math. My dad was a great math student. I can't do a checkbook. I can't do much. The point being is that everybody's got a feel for something. And you see it a lot in football and in sports, in the NFL. There are just some guys that don't have a feel for things. And I've said this about Belichick. He doesn't have a feel for offensive skill people. He really doesn't. He is a great coach. He does almost everything well, but you can't go 10 years and have one offensive Pro Bowler, and you got the Saints have like, you know, 15 during that time. But Mike McCarthy yesterday of the Cowboys is talking about, it's all about defense. This year is all about defense. Dan Quinn's an upgrade, no question. But Mike McCarthy's got no feel for defense. None. We think of Mike McCarthy as an offensive guy. Aaron Rodgers, he drove him crazy with that. He has no track record of a defense. The last time he had a top 10 defense was 11 years ago. His last 9 years of head coaching, he's averaged in the 20s. He hasn't had a top 20 scoring defense in his last 4 years as a head coach. And I also know he has no feel for it beyond the data because he hired Mike Nolan, which was an eye roll around the NFL. Listen, they're just some guys, they can smell it, they can sense it. Ron Rivera, Washington, immediately on defense, was number two in the NFL last year. He didn't even have a preseason. He was battling cancer. Ron Rivera had limited time, already the second best defense. Mike Tomlin, Steelers, number three defense. He's got a feel for it in the draft. He's got a feel for it schematically. How about Brian Flores, who coached under Belichick? How in God's name, in a rebuilding process, can you have the number three defense in the NFL, Brian Flores? He's got a feel for it. And by the way, Green Bay's defense last year was ninth, the best it's been in years. Why? McCarthy's gone. And so Dallas is in a weird spot. They have a huge need on defense. But you've got an owner in Jerry Jones that loves offensive players. He wants to draft a quarterback and a wide receiver and a running back every year. So the owner loves offense. Why wouldn't he? Big brand in the NFL. It's flashy. It's fun. Last thing they needed was CeeDee Lamb. But, you know, he's a good player. And then you have a coach who's got no feel for defense. So I do think Dan Quinn is an upgrade. But, I mean, I always felt with Jeff Fisher, he doesn't have an innate feel for offense. Andy Reid clock management, always a little bit of an issue. There's no track record that Mike McCarthy can create a great defense. In fact, I could argue he's in a division with first, second, or third best defensive coach, Ron Rivera. But it is interesting. He wants to solve the defense. Well, the organization doesn't have a history. I mean, last year, the Cowboys were top 10 in offensive spending and second to last in defensive spending. That's who they are. That's their reality. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, you have a feel for predicting the outcome of Cleveland Browns seasons.
I do. Pretty amazing.
I have a feel for scouting high school basketball players.
You do.
We all have our gifts. So the Bucks are running it back. Antonio Brown's the only notable free agent left that hasn't re-signed with the Bucks yet. Leonard Fournette has agreed to stay in Tampa on a one-year deal worth $3.25 million with the potential to earn up to $4 million with incentives. They're bringing everybody back. He had 97 carries, 367 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 36 catches, and 233 yards during the season, and obviously contributed in the Super Bowl with 16 carries, 89 yards, 4 catches, for 46 yards and a touchdown.
I love that run. That was my favorite run of the year when he spun against the Packers. I mean, what's interesting now with Rojo and Lenny, they don't need to draft a running back. So, I mean, it's really an interesting team.
I was just talking about this yesterday. What are they going to do in the draft?
They don't really have – I mean, if I was the Bucs, I think I would probably go defensive line because Ndamukong Suh signed a one-year deal and JPP's been around. I'd probably go defensive line, which it, if you go look at the draft at the end of the first round, there's some nice edge rushers and defensive linemen. And
They could also just – go best available on the board.
Absolutely. Best available athlete on the board. There's going to be a running back out of North Carolina that's going to be available mid to late second round. They may go there.
It never hurts to have depth at running back, so they might still do that.
That's such a great move.
But I just think it's so interesting that they are literally bringing everyone back. Now, obviously, Antonio Brown still hasn't re-signed, but I don't know what the market is for Antonio Brown.
No, Joy, that's an interesting one because I thought about this. So they're getting a tight end back. O.J. Howard.
Yeah.
So that's, and he's their most talented tight end. So, and he was almost traded a year ago, but Brady fought for him reportedly behind the scenes, said, I'll get O.J. Howard up to speed. Because he was number one high school tight end. He went to Alabama. He was great. He went to Tampa. He's been good. But again, a lot of that is you got Tom Brady, who has a history of working great with tight ends. So now I've got Cameron Brake, Gronk. I mean, just think of these weapons now.
Yeah.
I got Cameron Brake, Gronk, and O.J. Howard, and Scotty Miller, and Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin, and is it Tyler Johnson, the four receiver?
And Leonard Fournette.
And Ronald Jones. It's nothing against AB, but if I had to miss, if there's a guy I could let go, I think it's AB.
Well, yes, but, I mean, AB contributed in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he did.
As well. I think for AB's purposes, there's not a huge market for him. So I think you could make it work with whatever money you have left to bring him back. Because there's not that many teams that are willing to take a risk on his off the field situations. And it worked perfectly. And maybe it's a different guy now. I don't know. But the only teams that I've heard mentioned in association with him are the Bucks and Seattle. So I think they could end up, you know, bringing everybody back. Which it'll be an interesting. I mean, this really like never happens, where they're able to work it to bring everybody back.
It doesn't
after
happen
the Super Bowl.
In any sport.
So
you've always got to cut.
I want to see how it goes.
Yeah, and also they're an organization that has a recent history of drafting well, so they've got 3 picks before the fourth round. You're probably going to get 3 more good football players.
So Ben Roethlisberger took a pay cut and reduced his cap hit in 2021 to stay with the Steelers for another year. There was some talk that they might have moved off him in the offseason, but owner Art Rooney was always committed to bringing Big Ben back. He said they were very happy that Ben was willing to restructure his contract because keeping him in Pittsburgh was always the team's goal.
You think, though, there's 2 teams that have old quarterbacks. That we Saints and Steelers have these 2 old guys that we kind of feel like the end is near. But the Saints have a plan.
Yes.
Jameis and Taysom. The Steelers don't.
That's always been my issue with the Steelers.
Joy. It's a bad quarterback draft class next year. So, honestly, I know it would upset Ben, but at this point, now they don't have
upset
a good enough.
Ben? I mean, upset Ben? Ben's been talking about retiring for like 4 years now.
They've got no plan.
No plan.
None.
The time for upsetting Ben has passed. And he just took a pay cut because he had to, essentially. So whether you're like in the the camp that you shouldn't send him off without, you know, bringing in a new guy because it's disrespectful to Ben. Like, okay, that's not how this world works. Like, if you're going to retire, if you're going to move on at the end of your career, someone else is to take your place. It's just football.
Yeah.
Now, there's some argument that they want to see what Dwayne Haskins has.
Well, that's fine. I got no problem with that.
I don't, but look, I've made my decision on Mason Rudolph. He's not the future of the Steelers. Right. I'm sorry to break it to you guys. I don't know what Dwayne Haskins is. I didn't love him in Washington on the field. So I do think that the Steelers have a longer history of being a stable organization. So maybe this will be a better situation for him. But I don't know how have you gotten to this point without bringing someone else in?
Well, you're from Pittsburgh. This is a city. They always say about St. Louis and Pittsburgh, when you go to a party, everybody's like, where'd you go to high school?
When I meet people from Pittsburgh, I ask them where they went to high school.
No, it's always been the word. I mean, that's what they say about St. Louis and Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
People grow up there. They live there.
They raise their families there, and then they raise their grandkids there.
That's
yes.
Right. Nobody at L.A., where'd you go to high school?
No.
Nobody asked that.
It'd be silliness.
So it's just one of those cities where they love their nostalgia.
I very much know this, and they're very loyal. Like, the Steelers might be the most loyal organization to the top, to the people at the top in, like, maybe all of sports. You just do not fire coaches. Do not move on from anything.
But nostalgia is a very dangerous thing in sports.
It is. It is. And when you look at what the Steelers have done over the past decade, I don't know how you got here. Now, I think that the real problem, not necessarily is Ben, it's the fact that they don't have a running game. But that's because they didn't want to pay for one.
Well, their O-line's deteriorated, and they don't have...
You can't ask Ben to throw it 55 times a game. That's not going to work for any quarterback. That's unsustainable for any quarterback, but especially not an old quarterback. So anyway, they're happy that Ben's back, I guess. So LeBron will reportedly miss 4 to 6 weeks due to his high ankle sprain.
From today?
That timeline started on the day of the injury, which means that the Lakers could be without him until early May. So LeBron was having, obviously, another MVP-level season, 25.4 points, 7.9 rebounds, 7.9 assists per game before he went down. This report is from Shams. He also noted that Anthony Davis could be back in 2 to 3 weeks. So this, I mean, I don't know if you watched that game last night.
Lost to the Sixers.
They lost the Sixers 109-101. They did make it competitive. They were down 18 points
they
and got within three.
Sixers hit a couple of big shots
with
late.
Less than a minute. Danny Green hit the dagger.
Boy, he was hot.
Yeah, that was a little set off. He got his ring last night, too. It was like, good night, Lakers. Look, they showed a little fight, but that doesn't matter. Nobody has, like, they showed a little fight in the win-loss column. Like, they need to stay in this with Anthony Davis and LeBron out. That would have been a big win for them last night. But they had so many turnovers. There's just no continuity whatsoever without. And look, I don't know what team could lose your top two stars in the West.
Well, in the East, the Nets haven't have won. But also, LeBron is so much more influential than other stars that the Lakers' defense now stinks.
Yes.
It was number one in the league. He got hurt. It's now 18th. Like, you forget that LeBron may not be the on-ball defender he was years ago, but he's so influential in communication on defense and switching up. And
he's the leader of the team.
He is. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Chris Broussard, former New York Times sports writer, Fox Sports NBA analyst, joining us live, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So, you know, I think it's funny. When they brought Kawhi to the Clippers, he's a great player, right? But when you put him next to LeBron, who makes everybody better, who calls out the signals, who's inspirational, and you look at Kawhi, and we're a year and a half into this thing, they're not playing well at the end of games. He was awful in Game 7 against Denver. He's missed 24 games so far as a Clipper. And now they bring Rondo in for, quote, chemistry and leadership. And deep down, I think to myself, when the Lakers brought in Rondo, they actually needed Chris. They needed about 10 to 12 points. They didn't have a dependable third score. They didn't trust Kuzma. The Clippers are bringing him in for leadership. And I think, what? I mean, I just look at it and I think to myself, isn't that Kawhi and Paul George? Aren't they the best two players? I mean, what do you make of the Rondo move to the Clippers?
Well, look, sometimes great players aren't great leaders. It's just as simple as that. We've seen it before. And I think people did misjudge Kawhi when he went to the Clippers. And they were expecting him to be this leader. I mean, the way he looked, you got to give him credit for the way he maneuvered that situation
right.
By getting Paul George to go there with him. It made you look like, wow, this dude is stealth. Like, he's quiet, but he knows what he's doing. And now you're like, where's that Kawhi? You know? And so they brought Rondo in, as you said, locker room leader. This team has a few issues. One is they, among their players, they don't have a leader. And so they brought Rondo in to be a leader. And also, Colin, this is important, he's a leader that Kawhi and PG-13 will respect.
Okay.
That was big. Lou, everybody liked Lou, but the stench of Lemon Peppergate was still over that locker room and over that franchise. I mean, it was still an issue there. All right, so they had to just like get rid of Montrezl Harrell, they had to get rid of Lou. And I think Rondo will help. He always plays better in the playoffs, Colin. And they have a problem at the end of games, too, as you kind of mentioned.
They do.
They put it in Kawhi's hands, PG's hands, and say, go do your thing. And they turn into an ISO team. The ball stops moving. Now you've got Rondo who'll get them the ball in the right positions, get it moving elsewhere, too. So they should be better after in the clutch as well. I still think the Lakers, if healthy, I'm assuming everybody's healthy, that the Lakers are the best team in the West. But the Clippers got much closer and improved their chances of beating them in the playoffs.
By the way, before I get to the Lakers, let me just say this. I thought the move of – there was more player trades yesterday, I think I read, than any in 30 years for a single day. I thought Aaron Gordon to Denver was a really – now, because Phoenix on the wing, a lot of these teams in the West don't line up with LeBron. They don't have an athletic wing to put on him.
Right.
I thought Aaron Gordon was a huge pickup for Denver, like a really athletic guy, which they need.
Well, I think you'll like this, Colin. I went into yesterday hoping – I didn't think it would happen, but hoping that Golden State would get Aaron Gordon. Because I thought next year he would really help them, and they got Clay back, and Wiseman's a year older. I thought they'd really be good with an Aaron Gordon. Didn't happen, obviously. To your point, though, I do like what Denver did. They basically replaced what they lost when Jeremy Grant and Mason Plumlee left by bringing in JaVale McGee and Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon is a great catch-and-shoot three-point shooter this year. I mean, he's ranked above some of the great shooters in the game as far as catch and shoot threes. He hasn't been a great three-point shooter throughout his career, but this year he's on fire from three. He can do a little bit of playmaking, and really he improved their athleticism on the front line, which was something they definitely needed. And to your point, I'm not saying he's a stopper, but you can put him on LeBron, you can put him on Kawhi or Paul George, and he can match them size-wise, strength-wise, and athletically, and that's half the battle. So Denver had a great day. I think the Clippers and Denver had the best days in the West, in the league, in my opinion.
So you like this Kyle Lowry Laker thing, and I'm thinking to myself, listen, I know he's a beloved Raptor. Okay, I get that. Their standards are a little lower than the Lakers. But the Raptors are 18-3 the last 2 years without Kyle Lowry, and he's been a playoff disappointment, and that's fine in Toronto. But when you come to Los Angeles, you shrink fast if you don't deliver in the playoffs. And to me, he's a 35-year-old, and I really started liking KCP last year. I wouldn't have moved him. They just got Montrezl Harrell. He's athletic. I didn't love the Kyle Lowry stuff. I thought it was a little bit of a panic move, but you liked it.
I did, and first let me say this, and I obviously like Kyle Lowry, but if I hear that he's the greatest Raptor ever again, I think I'm going to throw up. Like, I get it, he helped him win a championship and all that. Vince Carter is the greatest Raptor. I know he didn't get him to the finals or anything like that. Kawhi obviously was a better player than both of those guys, but Vince Carter, let's not disrespect half man, half amazing. But anyway, as far as Lowry, Colin, I think they should have pulled the trigger. I think the Lakers, the reports are that it was Talen Horton Tucker that they refused to give up. They're willing to give up Dennis Schroeder and KCP. And I like THT, and I'm in the minority because people on other teams around the league are like, oh no, I wouldn't have given up THT. And yet, I don't know that he's a star. If I had to bet, I don't think he's a star in the future. He's 20 years old. If I'm the Lakers, I am thinking win now. Every season we have LeBron James, it's win a championship, period. And LeBron, Colin, let's keep it real. LeBron has now had serious injuries 2 of his 3 years with the Lakers.
Yeah.
Okay? The 1 year he didn't have one, he got a 4-month hiatus. Okay? So this notion that LeBron's going to be great for the next 3 years, I don't know. I hope so, but I don't know if that's going to be the case. It might be when he plays, oh, he's great. But he's going to get hurt as his body breaks down. That could be the case too. So every year you have him go for the championship, and I think Kyle Lowry, in a lot of people's minds, would have put them not only ahead of everybody else in the West again, but ahead of even Brooklyn in some people's minds. That's who they got to match up with, because getting to the finals is not the goal for the Lakers. How do you match up with Brooklyn? And I'm saying it like it's matter of fact, because if they're healthy, I think they're in the finals.
Yeah.
So I think Lowry would have helped that. THT is for the future, and they still would have had depth. I think they're going to get Andre Drummond, which will be big for
That's
him.
Good. Actually,
but I would have pulled the trigger, Colin.
Yeah, Andre Drummond I get. I mean, with AD's, you know, history of getting banged up, AD may be a 29 to 30 minute player. That's it. And he may be a 55 game, 31 minute player. Andre Drummond, I think the Lakers do need a big. But boy, if you and I worked in the same front office, we'd have gone toe to toe on Kyle Lowry, because boy, you like him way more than I do.
Everybody is disrespecting Kyle. He's still 17.6 assists and 39% shooting from three. They need 3-point shooting too.
You can clean out the cupboards for Kyle Lowry. He's 35 years old. Still pretty old.
Dennis Schroeder, I get everything I lost with Schroeder. KCP is up and down. He's inconsistent. And THT, he's in the future. And he's not going to be a star either. He's going to be a good player. Not a star. Come on.
All right.
I'm going for it now. Well, I'm win now, baby. You play to win the game.
Well, you got that banker suit on today. You look like a guy that's closing deals today, by the way. Chris Broussard, Fox Sports. Good talking to you, buddy. That's what would be so great if you worked in the front office. You'd have arguments like this. Like, I've talked to GMs before, and they like line guys up, and everybody, men and women, are arguing about stuff. And his argument's compelling, which is AD can't stay healthy, and LeBron's been hurt. Just go get a guy that gives you 16 points.
And because he has a lot of experience.
And Schroeder's a free agent, so they're not going to be able to keep him, not going to be able to pay him.
And you're not, if you're the Lakers, you're not really building for the future.
But I do feel like they're the best team in the league. Just get healthy.
I agree, but you can't lose every game until LeBron and AD are back either.
I think the Kyle Lowry stuff does make me believe that LeBron's injury and AD's, they're worse than are being reported. The Lakers are saying, we may not get these guys back until like 5-8 games in the regular season. We may be. Now, it should be noted, the way the new playoff format now works, you have to be 11th place to not make the playoffs, because you can play your way in. So Lakers aren't getting that far down. They may get to 7 or 8, but they're not getting to 11. So I actually think when the Lakers were healthy, I thought that was really good. I wouldn't give up on KCP. I used to think he was a flake, but I thought last year he was great in the bubble. I thought he hit big. A lot of guys don't like to shoot. Paul George disappeared last year in a couple games in the bubble, like hid from the ball. Like KCP took big shots. And a lot of that's just mental. That kid is willing to take big shots. A lot of guys don't want the ball. A lot of guys hide from it. Mock draft from Albert Breer, who we respect. God, you got first 4 picks or 4 quarterbacks. That's probably what's going to happen. We're going to talk about that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
What's up, everyone? It's me, 3-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you can get your podcast.
Separate the men from the boys. Tommy John's hammock pouch underwear. 20% off site-wide right now. TommyJohn.com/Herd. Check out the site for details. Andy Enfield, coach of USC. They play Oregon this weekend. Big, big Saturday and Sunday games in the tournament. So Albert Breer came out with his mock draft. And he's got quarterbacks in the top four. He's got Trevor Lawrence going to the Jags, of course. Zach Wilson to the Jets probably happens. He has the Denver Broncos trading with the Miami Dolphins at three and getting Justin Fields. I know Denver would love to do that. And then he's got Trey Lance, who I think is going to be really good, going number four to Atlanta. And then it's, you know, just a bunch of players. So, and by the way, Miami could trade out of that number three spot and get the number nine pick and still get a great player, Jalen Waddle, who would help Tua, right? So that's the big thing. Here's the thing is, even when I've had a good job, I always have this sort of like understanding that it'll end. It's my fatalism, like, right? Like, so just you're Brian Flores. So you're the coach of the Miami Dolphins. There's 32 NFL jobs. That is it. And if you lose the first one, you don't always get a second one. So you take the Dolphins job, and they have a history of firing coaches. And you'll be in year three, and you've yet to make the playoffs. The Patriots are absolutely going to be better, and the Buffalo Bills are absolutely rolling. And you probably never have the number three pick again. And I want you to think about this. If you stick with Tua, next year is a bad college quarterback draft. Next year is not a great quarterback free agent space. You tell me. So this team last year was great on special teams. They won games on special teams. They were great on defense and didn't make the playoffs. And if you start looking around the AFC, today, Cleveland is better. Cincinnati will be better. The Chargers got an offensive line for Herbert. They should be better. New England's going to be better. You start sniffing around the AFC, Houston looks like they'll be worse. The Colts with Wentz will be better. Like, there's only seven spots now to make the playoffs. So you're the coach. If you stick with Tua and you trade that three spot, what are you left with in a year? And that's my thing. At some point, the survivalism as a coach is, and I'm not saying Tua can't make plays. Listen, if they did this move as Albert Breer projects and they moved to eight, they could still get Jalen Waddle, who I think is a great college receiver. And they also went out and spent some money on a wide receiver in free agency. It's not on the top of my mind, but they went out and spent some money at wide receiver as well. So they're obviously trying to augment their receiving core. They have a good tight end. They're trying to augment it. I get that, to ensure Tua succeeds. But boy, when I look at this space, the Dolphins run through coaches, year three, Patriots better, Bills rolling, AFC outside of Houston and Tennessee, feels like everybody's a little bit better. I don't know. I don't know if I'd give up that pick. Yesterday, Joy asked a legitimate question. She said, you know, what's the game plan? And my takeaway is you draft whoever you want to draft. I don't care who it is. You just draft them three. The number three draft pick is historically for terrible teams. You won 10 games. You're not a terrible team. So it's very rare in your franchise history that a great team gets a great draft pick in a great quarterback draft class. Just say those out loud. Really good team, really good draft pick, really big quarterback draft, really good quarterback draft class. That doesn't happen in the NFL. The good teams don't get top three picks. Go look at who's drafting around the first round right now. It's the Jags, it's the Jets, it's the Lions, it's the Eagles. It's mostly tire fires. You're good and have a third pick in a loaded quarterback draft class. On the year before, an awful quarterback draft class. I don't know. The good news is Miami could potentially get a haul for that number three pick. You could drop down to Denver nine. You could probably end up getting, you know, you probably get another first round pick next year. You probably get a player at some point from Denver. Denver's got some really nice offensive pieces. But I think if I was Brian Flores, my survival mechanism is I'm real close to getting trapped here. The Patriots are going to eventually get this thing going again, and Buffalo is rolling, and there's only seven draft picks. And the AFC, because of all these Trevor Lawrences and Joe Burrows, and the AFC's had really bad teams. Whereas the NFC, the floor is lower. The ceiling may not be as high, you know, with as many, like, high teams, but the ceiling's low in the NFC, so there's not a lot of dreck in the NFC. For the last three or four years, there's been awful teams, awful in the AFC. The worst teams have been AFC. Well, they all have star quarterbacks. And those guys are only getting better. Like Justin Herbert's getting better, and Mahomes is getting better, and Josh Allen's getting better, and Burrow's getting better, and Baker now has an all-star team. So I just look at it and I think, okay, great, you're a great defensive coach. If you're going up there and you got the 13th best quarterback in the AFC, what can you do?
They signed Will Fuller.
Will Fuller. So yeah. So Will Fuller and getting Jalen Waddle, those are speed guys. So I mean, those are. I'm not saying they augment Tua, but boy.
But if you take the third, if you take a quarterback with a third pick, and you put them in a quarterback competition, and then one of them doesn't work out, you can then trade the one that doesn't necessarily work out for other picks that you can use in next year's draft. You're not going to have maybe the number three pick.
Maybe I'm too much.
It's not like you're going to be out of picks in next year's draft.
I'm like the Bear Grylls of sportscasters. I'm just trying to survive.
Just trying to survive.
I always feel like I'm an avalanche away my in career. But it's just like if I'm Brian Flores, man, you start looking around at the world. I can't give that quarterback pick up. Hour two next.